Well, I'd invite you today to turn, those that may be visiting. We open this lesson today with John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18 together. It says, "For God so loved the world," I'm reading from the King James Version, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'm going to read this. I like this particular scripture verse. The more I read it, the more it ministers. This is the Psalm 119, 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And I like this. This is the Holman Christian Standard translation. It says, "The revelation of your word gives light." So the Holy Ghost is going to give us revelation. It's not just the entrance, but the revelation and unfolding. That's what the Young's literal translation, or the opening of thy word. The Amplified says, "The unfolding of your words give light." And so I trust that the unfolding of God's word is going to bring some light. For some, it'll put us in remembrance of the word of God. I'd ask you to just open for a moment to Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to move quickly. We're going to go through, and as God directs, we'll add or go a different direction. But now, Hebrews 11:1, we're familiar with this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." And so we can see here that the evidence of something is our faith, and the substance is a substructure. But that substructure is of things hoped for, an expectation. And I read this in a previous message, some other translations of Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to just share this. This is the Living Bible. It says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen." Something we want is going to happen. "It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead." We're certain, and we're trusting and expecting. So, the voice says it's an absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. And there are other translations. The Fenton translation says it's a conviction of unseen facts. I like this. This is the Jordan translation. It says, "Now faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It is betting your life on the unseen realities." It's betting your life on it. Could you bet your life on something that God told you? Yes, that's an unseen reality. I could bet my life on that. We all have. We made a commitment to Jesus and committed. We bet our life on that. Faith in Him. And so things that we don't see, things we haven't seen, we bet our life on that because we trust God. And so regarding faith and patience, let's turn over, I think I shared this, Hebrews 6. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews. Let's take a look at Hebrews 6:12. Nobody likes to wait for nothing, as they say. I want it now. But you're going to be, we're going to show you some scriptures that bear out that patience is key. Hebrews 6:12, it says, that you be not slothful. It just means lazy. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So it's going to require faith and patience. Let's go to Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35. Just want to lay a few scriptures here. Hebrews 10:35, you're familiar with this. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. That's faith. Don't cast it away. For it has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. Ugh. Yeah. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So it didn't say faith only is going to get you the promises. It says faith and promises. I'm sorry, faith and patience, you're going to receive the promises. Thank you. So you can see here, one question I would ask, how are we going to obtain the promises? We just read that. It's through faith and patience. So it's not just by faith. It's not something automatic. And I think this is the key, that when you start to look up patience, endurance, long suffering, there's development involved. Development of what? Character. Development of Christian character. And so everybody can just jump in and believe God, but it's that walking out of something that is going to develop something in you that you will inherit that which God has promised you. So when we see something, we all know this. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The entrance, the unfolding of his word brings light. So when light comes, you see it. I got it. Faith is there. So I take hold. But then there's a process, and I've got to walk something out now. The lepers, when they were healed as they went. Caleb and Joshua, was that a process? Oh, 40 years of being with an unbelieving bunch. Right? And you read the story, Joshua said, Caleb said, I'm as strong now as I was 40 years ago. And so we're talking about patient endurance, cheerfully enduring something and not giving up, holding on. And that's the part that most of us, I include myself, you know, we want it fixed tomorrow, and it doesn't work that way. You got to walk through some things. You got to endure some things before you see the promises, before you see the fulfillment of it. Let's turn over to Galatians 6. I'm going to remind you of some things. We all know this. We read this all the time. It says, be not weary. What does it say? Let us not be weary in well doing, right? For in due season, that sounds like we gotta wait, doesn't it? In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I like this. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, let us not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in my hand. I'm going to win. I'm going to receive the promises of God. You know, when I'm reminded as we're sharing this that Pastor Tim Rogers from Mexico been out in the field for almost 20 years. I think it's 18, 19 years. It's close to 20, maybe 20 years. He said, you know, I'm not any more special than anybody else. He said, you know what the difference is? I didn't quit. He said, I may have my facts incorrect, somebody can correct me, but I believe he said 4 out of 5 missionaries every year quit. Go out on the field and they just quit. And he said, I just didn't quit. And so today, they started out, they had to struggle. They had to, you know, we supported them. You had to struggle, as others have, started ministries. And it was interesting yesterday, you know, being with other ministers, it seemed to be the theme. Man, we're just going through it. And it seemed to be, and not that they were highlighting it, but they were sharing their heart. And I'm not saying that's wrong, because you share things. But when you let that get in the way of the mandates of God and the vision that God has given you, that's a problem. And so sometimes we have faith, we start out in the race, because I'm going there. It talks about running this race. And it says that we need patience. And so sometimes we get our eyes off of objectives that God has given us, and we never see the fulfillment that God has for an individual, for a ministry, because we get sidetracked. That can happen in anything. It can happen in your own personal life, your marriage. Can happen in your job, it can happen in anything where you get consumed with that. Could be a health issue. And you get consumed with all of that stuff coming, and you forget what God said. And you stop talking about it. You stop saying what he said, because you become weary of mind. And this is one of the things that as I began to meditate on this yesterday, I saw, you'll see some other scriptures that point and support this, why sickness is so devilish, because it gets to a place where a person can be weary of mind, and it affects their hope. So now they're not expecting, and then they let go of their faith. And that's why when we become weary of mind and our patience is affected, our endurance, our steadfastness, we become weary in things that God has told us to do or promised, either one. He could have promised something. And we take hold of it, yes, sir. Week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 3 weeks goes by, 6 months goes by, years go by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, 4 years go by, 6 years go by. And it begins to wear. It's like a drip. And you become weary in well-doing. And the next thing you start to say is, I don't know, maybe this is my lot in life. I'm not laughing. Somebody may. You walk through it and see how funny it is. Because those that have walked through some hard places, we all get to a place, every one of us, I don't care how high you started. Paul started in heaven. And after all of the tribulations and trials, began to question some things. So every one of us gets to a place where we begin to say, I don't know. We begin to question. If you're human and honest, every one of us have. But what we need to remind ourselves is that it's through faith and patience, endurance, that we inherit it. And don't give that joker the place. Don't give him space in your mind. Because when you do, you can become weary and you let go of hope. And it's faith that gives substance to that. I'm telling you, it's a strong thing. And he works, your enemy works in this area. Because he knows that if he can get at your hope, you just let it go. You don't expect anymore. You don't expect to see it. You don't expect it to be fulfilled. You don't expect it. So then you face the next thing. You just let go. Isn't that true? Every one of us have been there. Every one of us. I heard a minister say yesterday, I mean, if I called his name, you know who it is. God's working mightily. But began to just say, I don't know. I don't know. And he said he had to get private with God, get closed in, cry, bare his heart. Say, God, I don't know. What is this? And God had to minister to him and remind him of some things. And we need to be reminded, no matter what we're walking through, you will win. You've been delivered out from under the power of the devil and translated into his kingdom, into his faithfulness, into his presence. And it's through his faith that you have a measure of, and we say, okay, it's faith and patience. But if you look in the book of Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What else? Long suffering. That's patience. So when you got born again, that's not the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That's the fruit that's been deposited in you by his eternal life. You've got it. But it needs to be worked and developed just like love does. Just like peace does. So does patience. Let's go to James. I hope this is helping some folks. If you're there, we'll praise God. James chapter 1. And let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1. Hold your place there. Just hold your finger there. And let's look at, I want to look at one scripture verse first before that. Just back up a few pages in your Bible to Hebrews. Oh no, I read that. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, let's go back. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Didn't say it was. It just says count it. That means to consider it. You know, some of the words we say, regard it, esteem it, deem it. That's another word. Think it. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So it could be tests, trials. Knowing this. See, isn't this something? This is saying knowing this. Not wondering. Knowing. Knowing this. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. It worketh patience. It works steadfastness. I'm going to read some of the definitions or the words that word means in the Greek. It says steadfastness, constancy, endurance. It's the characteristic of a man who was not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith. It means you're steadfast, you're immovable. Why? Because you have God's promise on it. And it's through faith and this says here, faith, the trial, what does it say, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works something. It works patience, but you've already got it. See, so when faith begins to be worked by, not worked, but exercised by you, and stuff hits the fan. You know how people do? Man, I don't know what happened. I started doing this, and the next thing, the whole bottom fell out. Count it all joy. That's what the scripture says. We're to count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. It works endurance. It works steadfastness. And so some may think that patience is passive, but patience is steadfastness, endurance, consistency. Let me read this from a few other translations. And I say this, then when trials come, tests come, let me ask this. Doesn't the scripture talk about that we're not to be carnal, but what? Spiritual. So carnal people or carnal thinking, when they get pushed, they can act a certain way, right? And how are we supposed to act? With joy. We're to act like what we believe, not what we feel. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. This is the Weymouth translation. How many have ever felt, I like this particular, this is the way this expresses this. when we get into situations, how many people have felt hedged in? I mean, you turn to the left, turn to the right, you go full back, I feel like I'm trapped. Right? If you don't say amen, I'm going to pray for liars. Because every one of us have felt hemmed in, hedged in, boxed in, however you want to say it. We feel trapped, don't we? And this says here, this is the Weymouth translation. It says, "Reckon it nothing but joy, my brethren, whenever you find yourselves hedged in by various trials." We can feel hedged in. This says, "Be assured that the testing of your faith leads to the power of endurance." There's power in patience. There's power in endurance. "Only let endurance have perfect results, so that you may become perfect and complete, deficient in nothing." How many of us like that? We want to be perfect, complete, nothing lacking. Every one of us. Oh, yes. Well, there's another part that goes with that. You're going to have to go through some stuff. That's what it says. Right? It's going to develop some moxie in us, character, endurance. This is the NIV. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." New Century, it talks about developing, it says it develops endurance. The Amplified, "Consider it wholly joyful," W-H-O-L-L-Y, joyful, "my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith," see, faith has to be proved, "the proving of your faith brings out something. It brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects." Boy, we all, yes, sir. "Lacking in nothing." This is the Living Bible. "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations?" That's a question. "Then be happy." Sounds kind of... It's like, what? Be happy? You know, most people, they click their teeth and go, "Man, you don't understand." It says, "Be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow." I like that. When the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. But you can't let go, see? You got to let it be developed. You got to let it grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. "For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete." See, that's usually the first thing. We want to squirm out. We want it fixed yesterday. And I'm waiting too long. That's what folks say. We all do. You know, all of us. I like fast, quick, boom, done. That's it. But then how is your patience, how is your character developed? It's not. Brother Hagin said this, Senior, when he was alive, said it towards the end of his ministry. He said it, I don't know, I heard him say it a few times. He said this in public. He said, you know why I'm so steady? He said, because I had to suffer. And he said, people don't want to hear that. He said, I'm steady, nothing rattles me, because I had to suffer some things. What did that do? Developed patience and character and steadfastness. Hallelujah. The New English Bible says it breeds fortitude. It breeds something. It develops something in us. See? Amen. Turn over to Romans. Got a few minutes left. If your shoes are too tight, take your shoes off. Or loosen them up, I don't know. Say, oh me. Romans chapter 5, let's look at the first five verses. God's looking to develop some things, and I can tell you this. I shared this recently with Pastor Greg. I said, if you think we're going to just walk into this mall next door, like, do, 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 we're coming in. If you think we're going to march in without a little opposition, you're in dreamland. Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yeah, you got the tune. Yeah. Because every objective that God sets out, it's through faith and patience that you inherit something that God has promised. It's going to take that. Let me get over where I was. Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, verse 1, I'm reading the King James. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, this is what we just got done reading in James. It says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing, see, just talking about knowing again, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now listen to verse 4. See, the King James says it in a way, but I'm going to add some things in here. And patience worketh experience. Because that's exactly what it means. And experience worketh hope. See, now you can see, if you read it that way, and other translations read that way, and it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When hope is affected, see, if you let go somewhere along the line, then if patience is let go, then what happens? It doesn't work experience. Then experience doesn't work hope. It affects hope. Doesn't it?
Yes.
And every one of us have met people, you may have been near yourself, where you just get to the place where you just say, yeah, I don't know. And you let go of hope. Because the endurance was affected. You gave up along the way. You just gave up. It's too hard, too big, looked impossible. After a while, you may have started not there, but you may have gotten to that place and you let go. You just let go. King James says, tribulation worketh patience. The George M. Lamza translation says, it perfects patience in us. I like this. This is the Centenary New Testament. It says, trouble works fortitude. The New Living Translation, this is verse 3. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us. And character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. See, once the confident expectation is affected, the whole thing is like dominoes. It just falls apart. You just let go. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, and not only so, we also exult in our sufferings, knowing as we do that suffering produces fortitude, fortitude, ripeness of character, and ripeness of character, hope. And that hope never disappoints. And you can read the Amplified. I'm going to keep going here. I got two more scriptures I want to read here. Romans 8:25. Pastor Jesse was teaching on verses 26, 27. But let's look at verse 25. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, if we hope for something we see not, then it's patience that we wait for. See. Amplified, it says, but if we hope for that which is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. This is the Knox translation. And if we are hoping for something still unseen, we need endurance to wait for it. We need endurance. You got to wait for some things. Now let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. And then we're going to look at Colossians. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Let's look at verse 2 and 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. We're to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Pastor Greg's been teaching about the soul, the mind. Let me tell you something. Adversity, trials, if you don't consider the author and high priest of your faith, and consider the joy that was set before him, and consider what he went through. This says right here, what does it say? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now let's go over to Colossians. I want you to look at scripture over here. You might say, well, Pastor Ed, that sounds all good. Sounds wonderful, but I'm going through something, and how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? How does the power of patience come in? Well, I want you to look at a scripture with me. You're familiar with this? Look at Colossians 1, verse 11. says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto what? All patience and long suffering with joyfulness. How are you going to be able to do that? It says strengthened with all might. So that's something we can do. Strengthened with dunamis power. That means the power of God. That means his ability, his power. Let me read this. This is the Amplified. It says, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. This is the voice. Strengthen them with your infinite power according to your glorious might, so that they will have everything they need to hold on and endure hardship patiently and joyfully. It's going to be the power of God working in you that will cause you to patiently endure with joy. If you think you're just going to do it on your own, it won't work. You can't love without the power of God. You can't endure without the power of God working mightily in you. See, because if we could do it, he wouldn't get all the glory. We would. Because we'd say, hey man, I got through this. I got through this. How many are familiar, you know, we've heard this, I say it, profess it, not as often as I should, but I do profess it. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. What did Paul write here in verses 17, 18, 19, 20 through 23? But look at verse 19. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Same word as might used in Colossians 1:11, dunamis. To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, and so forth. But it's his mighty power towards us who believe. This is God's word translation. You will also know the unlimited greatness of his power as it works with might and strength for us, the believers. So it's going to be the power of God in us that's going to work, and we need to believe God for his power to work in us to endure. Because without that, you won't. You'll get weary in well-doing. It's going to be the power of God. It's going to be the power of God. You're familiar with this scripture verse. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me with his power, with his might to do, to endure, to overcome, to achieve, to not let go, to see it through. Hallelujah. We're going to see it through the objectives that God has given us here, come what may. And it's going to take the power of God to strengthen us to endure, to take it. That's what it's going to take. Because otherwise, if you don't, you can risk becoming weary in your mind. Just stuff will pop up and you go, not again, not this, not that. But it's going to take getting aside. You know, when I heard it, it really, I won't say it bothered me, but I began to see, the devil's at work. He's trying to break what? The head of a ministry. He's trying to break it with stuff, with weariness, with busyness, so they can't take the land. To do what? Reach people. And you've got to say, I'm going to do this come what may. I'm going to drop all of this and pull aside to get the power of God infused with His power, with His wisdom, with His might. That's what Jesus did. He pulled aside and prayed to get filled with God's power and might and wisdom. Yes, He was God, but Philippians said He divested Himself of that, of not the power, but of all the rights of God in the earth. He was a man. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost and showed us how to walk this out. We can do it. And God is speaking to me, speaking, I'm sure, to you. Don't let go. Don't get weary. Don't give up. You're close. Don't become weary in well-doing. Whatever it is, you keep hold of that. If God has promised wealth and health for you, then you take it. I don't care how long it takes. You encourage yourself in the Lord and keep reminding yourself. Put yourself around people that will remind you. You're going to make it. You're going to do it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because it's through faith and patience we will inherit. We will win. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, I know by the Holy Ghost there are people, because I know the heart of God. There are people in here that have let life and circumstances frustrate them. And you just need to be reminded of the promises of God. You need to get back, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him, look for His help. Look for His power. Look for His assistance to get you through. You can get there. You can get there. I'm an overcomer. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a victor. Faith overcomes. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah.